Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast. Raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Amen. Father, we lift up our voices in thanksgiving to you once again. We worship you for today's service. Thank you for all that you've said and you are still going to say. We say, may your name be praised in Jesus' name. But as we listen to what you have for us from your word today, so receive all the glory and all the honor. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let's have our seats. Good morning once again. So for this service and for the next couple of services, I guess, between today and next week morning service, we're going to be looking at some important roles or pictures that are mentioned in the Bible of the Christian. God did not create man without a sense of purpose. Are we together? He didn't create man without a sense of purpose. He didn't create man without a sense of urgency to do something. Right from the garden, God never made Adam and then just left him and said, okay, you can do whatever you like. Did he do that? No. As soon as he made Adam, he put him to work, right? He put him to work immediately. Put him to work in the garden. Told him to tend the garden. That's still what he does. In every area of man's life, there's no such thing as someone that he just is. Human beings cannot exist as idle beings. Human beings must be doing something. Now, whether that thing is profitable or not is a different story. But that a man will not do anything, he will die. Amen? He will die. We went in Uganda. We spoke to a missionary from US who worked with another man called Thomas Oden. Right, Thomas Oden. He is a researcher. He is a theologian. He has written a lot of books that focus on African Christianity, proving that Christianity actually originated from here. Proper research, and also proving that Christianity is coming back here before Jesus comes, that this will become the heart of Christianity once again. Anyway, so we're listening to him about the life of this man, and apparently he could not type anymore as he advanced in age, and because of his health and all that. And the man that was working with him told us that he believes that that's what killed him. That what killed him was not the fact that he ran out of strength in terms of he could not keep existing in this life. That what killed him was that he could not work anymore. Because the kind of person he was, he will not give you his books to write. He likes to type by himself. And we're told that his library was so huge that it caused a crack in the structure of the building that he was living in. That's how much he read. And so when he could not do the work that he was called or created to do, right, anymore, a few months after, he passed. And because he worked with him closely, he was telling us that this man was still healthy. He was advanced in years, but he said the fact that he could not work anymore, he left. And there are many examples like that. Man is created to do something. Yeah? And also, the Christian life is such that there has to be a balance between the grace of God and the love of God and our response to that grace and love. And we have to know how to respond to it, because how to respond to it is what we do. Right? And the Bible is so beautiful because the Bible tells us and shows us different types of responses that are related to one another but communicate different things. And this morning, the response we are looking at is the response of the ambassador. So can we open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll be reading from verse 17. We read it in the Bible reading, but I'll just take it from 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And so we read here, it says we're ambassadors of God in verse 20. But it doesn't just start there. It tells us some things. And when you read through verse 17 to 21, you see that Paul mentions both what God has done and what man must do. There's no Christian understanding or theology that will be true or balanced without saying what man must do. But we have to do the right thing, right? And so he called us ambassadors. Who's an ambassador? I gave you an example last week. I said that if you travel to any nation in this world, you can give them good facts about your country, Nigeria. If you travel to any nation in this world as a person, if they ask you, oh, how do Nigerians live? You can tell them the truth. You can even cook Nigerian food for them if you are good at cooking, right? If you get the right ingredients, you can make egusi for them and make afang soup or whatever. And it will be our food. Will you be lying? That is our food? No. But in that country, wherever you are, whether it's US, Canada, UK, Rwanda, Tanzania, wherever you are in this world, South Africa, you cannot just walk into government office and say, okay, you want to submit some policies about Nigeria. Can you do that? No. Why? Because you don't have the authority. Just because you are a Nigerian does not give you the right to represent Nigeria governmentally wherever you are, right? That doesn't mean you cannot be factual or say the truth or say some things about Nigeria that will be proven to be correct if people come and check. Because you are not a representative. You are not an ambassador. And so when Paul says, now you are ambassadors for Christ, he goes beyond just taking Christian in a form. It goes beyond people in your office knowing that you go to church or you're a Christian. Because there's authority attached to that word that is available to every Christian. You have it, but you don't always use it. And if you don't use it, you are not an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador in what he has made you to be, but you are not living like one. Amen? Are we still together? What are the two features of an ambassador? An ambassador has two things. An ambassador has a country that he came from, right? An ambassador has a station in the country that he is in. True or false? So the ambassador of US to Nigeria, if you want to see him, will you go to his house? Where will you go? His office. You go there because there's a place assigned to him. He has a station. Right? And the station is the consulate, right? So you have to go there. If you're writing a letter, you write a letter to the ambassador to this. It's also what? Consular. But he also has an originating what? Country. And it's the same for us because we have an originating country. Are we from here? Are we from here? We are not. Jesus told us we're not. So let's check John chapter 17, verse 16. John 17:16. What does it say? It says, they are not of the world, just as I am not what? Of the world. This is Jesus praying for his disciples. And it's one of the statements he made. He says, they are not of the world, the same way I am not what? Of the world. So if you have received Jesus, automatically you've changed citizen what? Ship. You've changed citizenship. I'm using this term deliberately because what has happened to the Christian is very governmental. I had the privilege of speaking or following Daddy rather to go and visit someone this week. And there was a lot of political discussion, for almost 2 hours, mixed with other things, more actually. But what has happened to Christians is also in a sense political. You've changed kingdom. Colossians 1:13, what does it tell us? It says, for he has translated us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Something has happened. You have a new passport. You might not see it physically, but you what? You have it. He has taken you from a kingdom. And so that means you fulfill one of the qualities of what? An ambassador. That you have an originating country. Right? But you also fulfill the second one. It says you have what? You have an office. Where's your station? Where on the earth? It's the church. It's the church. And when I say the church, I don't just mean TSGC. I mean the church on a global level, which is every Christian on this earth. I mean the church on a local level, which is where you are going. And I mean the church on a personal level, which is you, because Jesus is inside where? You. And wherever Jesus is in is what? It's a church. And so you fulfill the two features of a kingdom, right? You fulfill the two features of an ambassador, rather. And that's good. That's good. But an ambassador also has two major duties. An ambassador has two duties. The first duty an ambassador has is to communicate the policies and the statutes of where he's coming from. It's to represent the interest of him. Right? So the ambassador of Nigeria in any country, what's his job there? That when any policy is being made, he ensures that it favors Nigeria. He's thinking of the interests of Nigeria as policies are being made in that country. That should be his job anyway, not to collect money and build his own kingdom. But he doesn't go there with interests of his own, right? So that's the first thing, it's communication. There's communication involved. But the second one is relational. In that the ambassador has to relate. And as he's relating with other people, people should be able to see that this person is from this nation. Right? So oftentimes you find out that African presidents, let's even leave the ambassador for a bit, have taken to going on official functions with traditional wear. Have you noticed that? Why do they do that? Because that's where they are from. And ultimately, they believe that this suit and tie thing is not for us. And when they go there, once you see them, you know where they are from if you know that culture. There can be 4 or 5 African presidents somewhere wearing different types of trad, and they don't look the same. Why? They are not from the same place. So there's a relational element to the ambassador too. The first is communication. The second is relational. And both of them are to push the interests of his nation wherever he finds himself. So you might ask yourself, how does this apply to you as a what? As a Christian. But before I tell you how it applies as a Christian, I have to tell you how it does not apply. The first is that you are not an ambassador if what you do is to try to represent Jesus in a social context. Let me give you an example. I've given you one already. So in your office, everybody knows that you go to church, right? Or in your office, everybody knows that you are a believer. Maybe by communication, right? Maybe by the things that you said. And if you think to yourself that, oh, people knowing who I am in a religious sense is enough to make me an ambassador for Christ, I'm sorry, you are wrong. You are what? You're wrong. Is it a bad thing? No. But that's not the work. Because if that was the work, then in the first example I gave you, I can walk into Nigerian embassy in Uganda, right? And just bring out my international passport. Shebi is Nigerian. I say, yes, okay, let me go to the consular's office and go and change some things there. Let me go and sign some documents. Can I do it? No. Okay. So it goes beyond that. It goes beyond a simple social affirmation of your Christian status. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond you taking moral stands. Wherever. Those things are not bad. But it goes beyond you taking simple moral stands. Oh, somebody did something on Twitter. This person is wrong. It is against Jesus to do this. It's not in the Bible for you to do this. You now type it. Yes. I've represented Jesus. It goes beyond simply taking a moral stand. Christians do it. It's not bad. I'm not mentioning things that are negative. I'm saying that if that is all you do, you are still missing the point. That's not the point. That's not what Paul is saying you are. And you see it a lot, online a lot. Just anything that happens, just read the comments. There are always Christians there. This is what? Wrong. Are they right? Probably, yes. And obviously, as they say this is wrong, somebody else will come and argue with them as to why it is right. And you see back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The Bible says even some Christians, because Christianity is plenty now. There are different shades. So there are some things that some people will even say is correct. Some people now say, hey, don't judge. The Bible says it's not judge. That's why people are not coming to church. And the other one will say, can't you see this thing is clearly in the Bible? They will now start back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And down, you now see another one saying, this is why we cannot be Christians. You Christians don't even agree with yourself. Who has seen those kind of things before? May I have? So it's beyond taking a moral stance in a situation. It's beyond intellectual discourse. So the first was social, right? Second is moral. The third is intellectual. It's beyond intellectual discourse. It's beyond being able to quote where the Bible said this, or being able to defend the scripture in a sense. So, COVID did some good things. I mean, for the church. Some. But I think he also did some bad things for the church. Obviously, one of the things that he did that I believe was very bad was many churches fell into wrong theology and thought they could replace gathering like we are gathering today with online church. Simply because when they were forced to close down, the online thing worked, right? They were able to put their system together from their house, and they'll just post the account number, everybody pay their tithes, everybody's fine, they go and pay their offering. So that this thing works now. And so when COVID was done, to come back was not a problem. Right? So that was one bad thing he did. The second thing that he did, though, in my opinion, is it gave rise to what I call a lot of internet ministries. A lot of online Christian apologetics. So a lot of YouTube channels that might have been existing before the church closed, though, all of a sudden when the church closed, because people stopped going to church, people started looking for Christian content, right? Online, beyond their own church. And all of these channels received, they boom, like some of them started having followers and new people started coming out. And some of these people that are speaking, they don't have training, no. They might have read a few books. So almost anybody knows what exegesis means online. And you see them using all this language, like it's wrong exegesis. They are correct. Like they are not misusing the word, do you understand? But they are not trained. What did they do? Read a few big books. And they keep reading, and you know when they start talking, you usually see their library behind them. You people, why are you talking like I don't know this thing? Pastor Femi knows what I'm talking about. But what are they doing? It's intellectual. And for them, they might think, oh, they are representing Jesus. No, they are not. It's beyond that. Because what they are doing has no power. We'll get there. Because you see, if it's to read book, the devil reads books too. In fact, he authored more books than even how many do we have here? 66, have we? You know how many books the devil has authored? He has plenty of books. He too, he gives inspiration. It's true. So if it is purely an intellectual, you say your own, may I say my own? And you think that's what Paul is saying. It's beyond intellectual discourse. It's beyond that. Are we together? Are we together? So I said it's beyond moral. It's beyond what? Social. It's beyond what? Intellectual. So if it is not that, then what is it actually? Before we can answer what it is, we have to be able to know what the interest of the nation is. Because I said you are now in a new country, right? What are the interests of this country? What does this country care about? As a Christian, what does being a Christian, okay, you are now in the kingdom of God, like we saw in Colossians 1:13. What does this nation care about? Because if you do not know the interest of the nation, you cannot represent the nation properly. True or false? True. And we've read what the interests are from verse 17 to 21. The interest of this nation is to reconcile men unto himself. Is to what? To reconcile men unto himself. Please, can we read verse 21? 1 Corinthians 5:21. Let's read it again. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. That's it. The interest of the nation is to bring people to who? To him. To bring people to him. And so now you begin to see why those other things fail. Because ultimately, particularly when I look at all this discourse online or all these people speaking and taking moral stances, the question I always ask myself is, who does this one save? Who does he save? Is this thing pointing someone to Jesus? Right? It's enough for you to argue and say, alcohol is bad. No, alcohol is bad sometimes. No, it's bad. And they are all fighting, blah, 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 opening the Bible. The Bible never said this thing, said drunkenness. And I'm just looking at all this discourse. And I'm looking at it and I say, nobody is going to get saved by this argument. It's not bringing anybody the gospel, because that's not the gospel. It's not. And it's the truth. And that's why the intellectual things fail. It's why moral stances fail. It's why simple social standing for Christianity fails. But none of these things have what we have been given. What have we been given? We've been given two things. The ministry of reconciliation and the word of what? Reconciliation. Another word for ministry is service. So we've been given what? The service of reconciliation. And the word of what? Reconciliation. And if you are not doing the service of reconciliation or using the word of reconciliation, you are not an ambassador. You are not an ambassador. You are in that you have given your life to Christ. You've been made one, but you're not living like one. You're simply not. And we have to get tired of the brand of Christianity that we have. Because it's not a good brand. A brand of Christianity that does not move you to do something. No, but not just do anything. To do something that is directed towards people coming to Jesus. It's a bad brand of Christianity. It's not good at all. It's not Christianity. It pains me to say it, but the laborers are truly few. Jesus was not wrong. Amen? You look at the world today, you know, Christianity is still the most populous religion. I mean, Islam has risen in some nations over the years. It's closer than it was before. But Christianity is still number one. I mean, in terms of affirming that, oh, we are Christians. But if you really check what it means to be a laborer in the vineyard, by the standards that this Bible gives us, you find that laborers are few. They are really few. It is not for us to say, oh, we're the only ones. No, that's what Elijah did, and God showed him he's not the only one, right? But the laborers are really few. The harvest is more. Sometimes, as we've been here, I experience some things that just make me shake my head. I have people in my life that are not here. Some of them don't go to church at all. And it's not for lack of trying. Some others go to church, but I question where they go. And I'm not going to mention where they go here. The reason I question this is not because I know anything that happens there. It's because I look at them, I have conversations with them, and I see that there's no sense of urgency in them with regards to Jesus and the gospel. And then sometimes I have the opportunity to say, okay, come, like, let's just have fellowship together. And some of them have not answered me till tomorrow. It may happen to you too, and that's fine. But the point I'm trying to make is, for some of them, I remember that I had the opportunity to sort of just, because, you know, WhatsApp is the exposer of secrets, right? WhatsApp status, or it's social media generally. I'm not saying secrets in a negative sense now, but if you don't know anything about someone, if the person decides to show you, you know, right? That's just how it works. And so sometimes I just, when I'm scrolling through my phone, I'm like, oh yeah. I remember one of them, he was like, I saw on his WhatsApp status, and it's like, church was powerful today. And he put a video. And do you know what first came to me? I was excited. Why was I excited? Because in my mind, I'm like, at least let this boy just be going somewhere. Even if he refuses to answer me, let him share, go somewhere and hear the word of God. And I was so excited, like, oh, he went to church. So, no, like, you know, like, sometimes the status has gone, you now have to go back, look for where it is. So I now say, let me even hear what was happening that made him say church was what? Powerful today. And I watched the video. And so, you know, he was on top, he was upstairs, so he was now zooming into the screen, and I was not listening. I said, wait, this we are talking about health. Health. Wellness. And I thought maybe, like, I heard wrong. Then, you know, like, he was not even zooming into the, and they had a big project screen and all that. I was not reading this. Like, this thing's wellness, so. They are teaching them how to live what? Well. Eat, what not to what, to eat, exercise, and I was taken aback. I was actually quite shook. Like, I now got sad at myself. I was like, see me happy that I went to church. You should have just stayed at home. Because if that's what made church powerful, something is wrong. Something is very wrong. With this country, or maybe let's say with Lagos, something's very wrong. And obviously, he was upstairs because he didn't find seats downstairs, right? So he's not the only one that probably thought church was powerful that day. There were hundreds. Right? The word of what? Reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. To be an ambassador, you can't fake it. You can't fake it. So I don't like it when people say, talk like a Christian, dress like a Christian, speak like a Christian. No, a Christian is not something you know, like, that word, like, means you are not really it. But you are just trying to act what like it. Christianity is not what you like, it's just what you are. Right? And the reason why the ambassador is special is because it's just who he is. He doesn't have to change his personality to fit because God has already changed him. Right? That's the point. The point is representing Jesus where you are should flow out of you like rivers of what? Of living water. Not because you are trying to put on a facade or you're now like, okay. You know, some people, they still remember they are Christians. You understand? Like, they already want to react. And they will not remember. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit cautioning you. He does that. I'm talking about people that, by themselves, they have to compose themselves into the Christian form. And then do what they want to do. Then when they've satisfied themselves, they now take it off. Then another time again, let me be a Christian. It's just who you are. And the reason why the word of reconciliation is important is because the word of reconciliation is not just for the people outside. It is first for who? For you. So that you yourself can change. Because once you change, you can be a good representative. It's not just for them outside. And it's never really effective in the end if it's just for them outside. One of the funniest stories I've ever heard from Daddy was about an evangelist. I can't remember clearly now. He might correct me. An evangelist or an evangelist group that when they finish their ministry, they will now carry themselves to the bar and say, we have done the one of Jesus. Let's now do the one of Satan. Every time I hear it, it just makes me laugh. I remember it and I just laugh on my own. Why? Because those people are, do you understand? Something is wrong inside. You can't fake it. You can't fake this thing. You would always be who you are. And it always makes me laugh because, you know, God is so interesting in that those people, because he doesn't want his word to fall to the ground, some people might genuinely be touched by what they are doing. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Jesus does things for himself. He doesn't look at you. This vessel is broken. No. Oh, this person. You know, disciples thought that it was a monopoly. He said, some people are casting out demons in your name. Some people. What did he say? If they are not against us, they are for us. Leave them. We don't know if these people have had the opportunity to hear the amount of messages that Peter and the rest have heard. So we don't even know how their life was, because even the Peter and them that were hearing Jesus every day, were they changing? They were not really changing until Jesus finally left. It didn't matter. And so God might honor himself, but then they that were used, they will not say, okay, we've done the one of Jesus, let's go. They're not true ambassadors. Because we heard the word of God today. We heard the word of prophecy about praying for power to flow through you and authority to flow through you. It doesn't flow through just anybody. There are some things that God does for himself. Evangelism, he said, when you go out there, you are going to represent me at what? I will do it. But for you to be able to handle the deep things of this world, the secrets of this life, what Hebrews describes as the powers of the age, what? to come. Something has to change inside you. You have to be different. It's beyond money. It's beyond the shinkini shinkini blessing that you are currently praying for. God, increase my salary. God, that new job. It's beyond that. Those are not the thoughts of ambassadors. Their interests are not their concern. It's the interest of what? Of the nation. And to be able to get a hold of that power, you need the word of what? Reconciliation. It must transform you first. What's the word of reconciliation? It's the word of God. And it must transform you first and mold you into someone that can truly represent the kingdom. That when men see you, they know you are standing for God. That's what they saw in the disciples. When they were before the Sanhedrin for the first time, there was a contradictory statement. It says when they saw that they were unlearned men and they heard what they spoke, they realized that they had been with what? With Jesus. Those two are contradictory statements. It's like saying, oh, I saw that these people did not go to school. And then, it's like, what the scripture is saying is what they are saying does not match their background. That the way they are speaking does not match what their background. And of course they will know, because they are the ruling council. They are the height of knowledge of the Jewish society. If any of those people had passed through them, like Paul did, they would know. But they looked at this man and said, these people did not pass through our school. They didn't pass through our school. Why are they talking like this? Then they look at them and remember that somebody else that also did not really pass through their school talked to them like that. In fact, this person has been talking to them like that since he was 12. True of us. True. And so they remember that these men were what? Were with Jesus. Because something has changed. And so what would the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation do for you? It's four things. Four things, and I'll close for today. Four things that I want to talk about. This is what the gospel does that makes you a fit ambassador. And there are four C's, so it might be easy for you to remember. The first thing is that it will work on your character. Let's say character. Have you heard the expression, character maketh man? It's true. It's true. To work on your character, it has to. Your behavior has to change. The second thing to work on is your competence. The Bible says that see down a man diligent in his work, he'll stand before what? Kings and not men. Work on your competence. It will make you competent to rightly divide the word of truth. The third thing is it will give you conviction. So conviction. Conviction is deeper than belief. It's deeper than what? Belief. A conviction is something that you are willing to stake your very life on. It's very deep. A conviction is synonymous with a person. When people say, oh, I'm convicted. You don't really know. Do you really know? No. Something has not come to test that thing yet. How you know you're convicted is when there's adversity. Which is why the work of preaching is really the work of repetition. That's what church is for. Because you don't know the day that word will actually convict someone. It's not the day you hear it. You can say, oh, God is a healer. You say, oh, yes, I believe. Then next time you fall sick, God, why? Why? You forget the whole Bible. Oh, God can provide. Yes, I believe. Pastor Billy said it. Oh, we rejoice. Oh, my God. Yes, these are the memory verse. And the next week, there's no money. God, why? You now start to calculate. Uncle this, auntie this, I can get 10,000 from here, 15K from here, 25K from there, I'll be fine. Do you really believe? No. You're not convinced. Which is why prophecy is interesting. You know, prophecies that have warnings are very interesting. Because it takes conviction to follow them. God does not warn you of something that doesn't have the potential to be a temptation. For example, if you receive a word, and it has happened to some people, and it says, this person, this so-so person, has ill intent towards you. Don't collect something from this person again. That's the word, right? But you see, that person I'm saying don't collect something from probably has it, and you probably lack it, right? True or false? And so that week now comes, and let's say it's money and you're broke. And the person even calls, and you pick up the call and say, and maybe the person's an elder. I just thought that you send you $150. You need the money. That's when we will know whether you are convinced or not. Right? Because some people will say, when he enters my account, I'll pray on it. I will sanctify it. I will even pay tithes. The tithes you pay will be sanctified though. It doesn't change anything about the way you are spending. Conviction is deeper than just belief, right? It's something that you can stake your life on. And you don't really know until adversity comes. When you stand your ground and say, I'm not moving from here. Only the word can do that for you. And finally, it helps your commitment, yeah? When we hear people say, when daddy says he has been in ministry for 40-something years, sometimes when I hear it, I'm like, God, give me grace. So me too, I want to say 40-something years. You might say, do you know how many people close down their church? You know, people say, I'm not doing it again. It happens every single day. Every single day. You might say, oh, they do it because of money. And life is not money. Maybe it's because they cannot take the challenges. They are not really committed. And it applies to every Christian. Your commitment to this Christian life. There are some people that were Christians last year and are not Christians today. There's someone that I know that he you know, anytime my parents say some things, when I hear it differently. So he told me about someone who, they said on her 50th birthday, she celebrated her birthday as a deaconess in Redeem. Her 60th birthday, she celebrated it in a mosque as an Elijah, and has collected like 5 chieftaincy titles in the mosque. So like 50, a deaconess in what? In church, right? 60, what happened in those 10 years? A lot of things, Abi. A lot of things. Because that's life, right? But one thing you can say happened is something happened to our commitment. Maybe our commitment wasn't even true. We have to know where we are pursuing. To be an ambassador, there's no resignation. You don't need to resign. You don't wake up and say you're not doing it again. It doesn't work. It's for life. It's forever. Because Christ has what he wants to do on this earth. And he wants you. He doesn't need you, but he wants you. And it's a privilege to be wanted of God. It's a privilege to be wanted of God. And I pray that God will help all of us in Jesus' name. Let's rise up. Let us pray. I spoke to you about a gospel life that has true power. True power that can change things. Not just, that's what we are preaching here. We're not preaching just, I'm a Christian in theory. We're preaching someone that is ready to challenge the kingdom of darkness wherever they find the kingdom of darkness. And stand for truth, knowing fully well whatever the place is in your family, to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, or I'll shoot your arrow. I am not going to do this. And they say, we don't do it like that in our family. So, yes, Jesus has saved me. And because he has saved me, I'm not doing it like this anymore. And they say, if you do it, something will happen to you. And tell them, try. Nothing will what happen to me. That's the kind of Christianity we're talking about here. But it does not come with someone that is empty of the word of reconciliation. I want you to open your mouth and say, oh Lord, this is your word of reconciliation you have given. I will not waste it. Help me to eat your word. Help me to consume your word so that I may have power in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Evronda fraskata, evarabashi griskite, abarabo frundo gorobo sedere, evrashanda garaboshe, barava frundo goro sedere, ezagaraba shindige de barabose, barabose gede, evaraba shamba shindige de boskotosha, evrashaskarabada, barabase griskite, evaraba shubra shriske de baza, barabande grehe, evranda graska shriske de bosha baraba, evorobosa shanda garaboskite. Shabaraba, Ivaraba Shebra Garabosco Roche, Ivaraba Shebra Handa Garabosha Roche, Ivaraba Saga Shiga Shindigrebosha Rase, Ivarabanda Shiskerebosha Rasera, Ifranda Shiskerebosha Rasera, Ivrunda Shiskerebosha Rasera, Igaraba Shiga Shanda Garabase Brosco Tondehe, Ivranda Shaskarabosco Toshe Brandehe, Ivranda Shaskarabosco Toshe Brandehe, Ivranda Shaskarabosha Dose Brande. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we give you all the glory. We exalt your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have said unto us. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.